Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody. You can support Luke's English podcast in several ways. That's several, not seven. You can support Luke's English podcast in seven ways. No, several ways. One of them is that you can just send a donation and you'll find donate buttons on my website. And Christmas is just around the corner. The other way that you could support Luke's English podcast is to download an audiobook from audible.com. And if you just use this URL, then that's the best way to do it. teacherluke.co.uk/audible. Go there and you can download a free audiobook. Okay, now let's get started with this new episode. And by the way, there may be a little bit of swearing in this one. So if you've got sensitive ears and you don't like rude language, then watch out, because there might be a few little swear words in this episode. All right, now let's get started. And here we go. Start the jingle. You're listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Luke's English podcast. I hope that you're well and fine and in good health and in good spirits and all that kind of thing as you listen to this episode. Christmas is just around the corner. That's interesting. I wonder what you'll all be doing. You probably will be doing various things. In some countries, you probably don't even celebrate Christmas, so it's no big deal. Anyway, I'm looking forward to sort of finding out what you do at Christmas. I might do some sort of Christmas episode, as I usually do around this time of year. There's usually something Christmassy that turns up on Luke's English podcast. And so that's that. That might be on the way soon. What else? So this episode is called The Rematch Part 2. And this is the second part of this double episode in which you're listening to me play a game with my friends Amber and Paul. We're playing the Lion Game again. Remember that one? We did that a few episodes ago, and it proved to be quite a popular one, so we thought we'd play it again. Plus, it was necessary to have a rematch because after some sort of controversy about me cheating rocked Luke's English podcast, we decided to sit down again and have another go at the Lion Game. And in the first part of this episode, you heard me and Paul tell our stories. I explained, what did I talk about? How I hit a teacher when I was a kid at school. That one turned out amazingly enough to be true. And then Paul told a story. He told a story about a car crash, which I thought was true, but in fact it was a lie. So at the end of part one, Paul Taylor was in the lead with 2 points. So is Paul going to win this game finally? Is this going to be the one that Paul actually wins? Because Paul's unfortunately always kind of comes out on the wrong side of these games. He's always a little bit unlucky, and he never has won one. I think we've done a few different sort of competitive games on this podcast before, but none of them so far have been won by Paul Taylor. So let's see what happens in this episode. Please do listen all the way to the end of this one, because then you will find out the details of a new version of the Lion Game that we plan to play next time. And that is one that involves your interaction. So we're going to play a sort of interactive version of the Lion Game with you, the listeners of Luke's English podcast. So listen to the end of this episode to find out all the details of that. Okay. Right, I think that's it. I think that's probably all I need to say. So, here we go. Let's continue the conversation with Amber and Paul. And now it's Amber's turn. And you're going to hear Amber talking about some strange situations involving a recurring dream that she has. So, slightly strange moment here where she talks about these weird recurring dreams. Is it true or is it a lie? What do you think? Okay, now let's carry on. And here we go.
Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on the podcast. Amber and Paul are on another podcast. Paul's a very funny boy. His laugh I very much enjoy. Amber's got a lovely voice. If I could choose an accent, hers will be my choice. Yeah.
So, Amber, now it's your turn.
Amber Minogue.
I hesitated to find. I couldn't find a story. I was looking, and then I had one in the back of my mind, and then that tooth story made me want to share this one.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah. I have a reoccurring dream about fish.
Okay. Now, we know what a reoccurring dream is, don't we, listeners? I'm talking to my listeners at this point. What's a reoccurring dream?
Just a dream that you have again and again.
Yeah. Okay. All right. You have a reoccurring dream about fish.
About fish.
A nightmare. A reoccurring nightmare.
It's a nightmare. Okay.
Great. About I like nightmare stories.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, tell us about it. What's the...
What happens in this dream, then?
Fish. I have to save the fish.
What?
I have to save... the fish.
Where are you?
And I'm in all different places. And for some reason, this fish is in peril.
It's one fish.
It can be many. It can be many, but like fish or fish, because as the plural and singular are the same, are in peril. I must somehow save them. And often the theme is they've not got enough water, or somehow their water is polluted. Or I've got some sort of time frame, you know, like, and there might
be
something.
You got 48 hours to save the fish.
I know. And then there might be something really horrific going on around it. But for some reason, the fish is more horrible. So once I used to work in Sainsbury's, and I dreamt I went into the office and my manager had hung himself.
Whoa.
And I went into the office because I had this little fish in my hand and the water was going through my fingers, and I was trying to find a cup to put it in, and I was like, oh, I don't know what's worse, but I mean, somehow the fish was worse, and I had to try and find
to
a
save
cup.
The fish.
I had to save the fish, even though, like, around me there was other horror.
What kind of fish was it?
It was a goldfish.
Goldfish. Is it always a goldfish in the dreams?
It's not always a goldfish.
No. Okay, so, all right, that's one of the dreams. You were working in Sainsbury's. You went into the office. I thought you were going to say that a fish was going to get fired. Like, no, don't fire. He's a good fish. He's a good worker.
Hung himself.
He's a good... Sure, he doesn't have hands. He can't do any shelf stacking, but he's a good fish.
No.
But in fact, your manager had hung himself and you had a fish in your hand and you were like, oh, God, the moral complexity of the situation. Should I save my boss who I don't like, or should I try and find...
I think it was too late for my boss.
Right.
But time was running out for this fish.
Wow, what a bizarre glimpse into the mind of Amber Minogue. You know, bosses in Sainsbury's hanging themselves with goldfish in the hand. Tell us one other dream that you've had then involving a fish like this.
Okay, so another dream, it was more abstract. I was at a party, and this party was in this really big house. And I went upstairs, and upstairs there was this little sort of... Like a pond, but like inside, you know, some posh...
An indoor pond.
Like a little indoor pond.
Like a Japanese garden type thing.
Yeah, something like that. And on the bottom of the pond was this mosaic of a cat.
Right.
And in the pond were these little fish, but the cat's claws were like these very thin sheets of glass, and the fish couldn't see them, but if they swam through it, they'd cut themselves to ribbons. And I needed to take the fish out of the pond, but I didn't have anywhere else to put them. So I
what's this got to do with the tooth story?
Well, teeth falling out are often a reoccurring nightmare. I've had that nightmare many
out,
times. You know,
right.
Your teeth crumbling, it's horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
And it reminded me of that.
Apparently that means you're going to be rich. That's what I heard.
Well, it's a fear of aging. It's a fear of this and that. It's all different. You know, it depends what you look at.
So Paul's story about the comedian whose tooth fell out on stage just made you think of the fact that we often have dreams about our teeth falling out. And so you then thought, I know, I'll talk about my recurring dream about fish.
My recurring nightmare.
My distressed fish nightmare.
Exactly.
So this is, you were in a house party, you went upstairs, there was a weird pond in one of the rooms with a mural of a cat on the bottom.
Yeah.
And the cat had claws that were like these invisible glass claws going into the pond, and the fish were swimming around, and they didn't realize that if they went between the claws they'd get cut into pieces.
Yeah.
And you were like, I really need to save these fish, but I don't know where to put them. Okay. Yeah. Was there a conclusion to this dream?
There never is.
How do you wake up
Feeling awful?
No, but like, is it a specific point?
It's not the kind of dream where you just where you sort of...
It's not a specific point in the dream where you wake up.
No.
You know, like normally if you have a reoccurring dream, usually if I have a reoccurring dream about my teeth falling out, it's at the point where, like, I've got no more teeth, and that's when I always wake up.
Yes.
Okay,
so I need you to tell me a third one. Because if this is a reoccurring dream, I imagine there's a few different scenarios.
There's loads.
So what's the third one then, if you will?
So, because these are the ones that have sort of stayed with me most, because it happens quite often. There's like a general theme is often I'm trying to save the fish, and often it's that sense of drowning, but in that reverse way, like you can't breathe. You know, the fish has got less and less water, and there's something sort of horrible about the way fish like flap around when they can't breathe anymore. They need this water, and I find that really distressing. So that's often the sort of theme of the dream, trying to save these fish, and you know, their water's sort of horrible, whatever. But one of the dreams that stayed with me, which is really unlike that, but was still a sort of reoccurring fish dream, was I went into this, I was already living in Paris, I went into this bar, and this bar had this really nice wooden bar. And behind the bar, there was all the bottles, you know, like the vodka and gin and all that kind of stuff. But in each bottle, there was a fish. And every time someone got a drink, you know, the
they had less water,
less and less water, and it was this like horrible.
So wait a minute, wait a minute. You had a fish that was dying because it didn't have enough water, and then there was a bar with
no in the bar behind the bar in all the bottles.
Okay, there were fish in the bottles.
There were fish in the bottles.
Yes.
So then every time someone got a drink, they take away the liquid,
and so the fish were dying. They were flapping around, dying inside the empty bottles.
Yes, although but some of them had fish in them, but some of them like every time they took a drink, they actually seemed to like take a slice of the fish. Like some of the fish were actually not.
Okay.
It was very weird.
Okay. All right. Wow. And what do you think this means? Have you considered what this might represent in your life? The fish in distress situation?
I think the reason it's fish, there's various reasons. Like, you know, I saw some fish when I was younger in distress, and maybe it marked me more than
Do you remember seeing fish in distress?
I do remember seeing fish in distress.
What was the situation?
I was little, I was in South Africa. It gets really hot, you know, and there's no water. There was a drought, and so there was this pond near where we lived, or a lake. It seemed very big to me, but it's probably
quite
small.
Was there a cat in the bottom of this pond?
There's no cat in the bottom. And they were moving, like the authorities or something, they were emptying the pond and all these fish, but they were just so many fish compared to how much water it was.
Right.
It sort of looked horrible. And I did have a goldfish which died. I don't know if that helped.
So several slightly traumatic events involving
trauma
fish.
And I think the meaning is obviously this sort of sense of anxiety, you know. Yeah. It's just an anxiety dream.
What was that? What was the South Africa experience like for you? Did you have a nice holiday?
I was living there.
You were
That's
living
where
there.
I was born.
How long? Oh, you were born there. Mm. How long did you live there?
Till I was 7.
And how? What about your memories of your time in South Africa? Very traumatic.
No, they were very nice. We had a good time.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just wondering why you associate that experience with something traumatic. Just the fish, I suppose, is enough.
I mean, the apartheid was fine, but the fish.
Because I was thinking that maybe you associated the fish in the pond with some bigger trauma. And sometimes that's, you know, you attach something, other trauma in your life to a specific experience, and then you carry it with you as you go forward. But no, it's just the fish.
Just fish. I think I just felt for fish.
Right.
What's your feeling, Luke?
You see, you know me, I just say everything's true because I just believe everybody. that's how I feel about this one again. I still think this is true. Although before she talked about that Rocky Horror Picture Show thing.
Yeah.
And my instinct was that it was a lie.
Yeah.
But then I told, I said that it was true. Here my instinct is telling me that this is true, because I feel like those dreams are really realistic dreams. I mean,
well,
you know,
it's not only that, they're just very detailed.
Yeah.
And I think with the Rocky Horror, yeah, that thing, the details, you were a bit more reluctant to give the details about those things.
The Rocky Horror thing.
Yeah, so we had to get the details out a bit more. Like, oh, tell us, what was the theatre like? You know, whereas this one, we didn't even have to speak throughout the entire... She just gave the details of her dreams.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is very... For me, and the fact that you would have come up with all of those details in the last 20 minutes of this podcast while I talked about the girl losing her teeth makes me feel like it could be true.
And, I mean... I like dreams, and I like to remember my dreams, and I write them down and things like that. I like to talk to people about dreams and things. And so I think I know what the world of dreams is like and the way it's so random and weird. And those descriptions seem to me like real dream descriptions. Now, admittedly, you're very clever, so you may be able to just recreate the atmosphere of a dream in a story. So maybe that's what you're doing. But I just feel like that... I think that we are predisposed when we tell a story or make up a story to imprint our conscious storytelling sort of method on it. So it's so a real dream doesn't have the same characteristics as a made-up story. I think it's weird enough and realistic enough for it to be true. I'm saying it's true. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, wait a minute, Paul. You realise that if Amber wins this round, if we both get it wrong, she gets 3 points and she wins this tournament. If one of us gets it wrong, basically, if you get it wrong, she wins. If I get it wrong and you get it... If you get it right, if you get it right, then it's a draw between the two.
I've thought about it, Luke.
All right. All right.
Tactically, I'm going with it's a lie.
Yeah.
Because that's. I'll tell you about it in a second.
Okay. You've got a tactic
it's all
here.
Tactics. Okay.
Okay. So true for me, lie for him.
Okay. No, but of course it's true. Of course it's true. Who makes that up? It's crazy. I should have tried to fool you and made it sound a lie, but I didn't.
So what was this plan that you had, Paul?
It's foiled. Doesn't matter. I've lost. Thanks very much. Right. Good evening. Thanks very much. Paul Taylor's lost again.
But your plan was that if you got it, you had to choose a different
thing you.
To me.
Yeah.
In a bid to just beat me outright and not go
beat you, but beat her. But now you've just got 2 points, right? No.
No, yeah. I've just got one.
Amber okay. You know, so my tactic did work then.
Oh, okay.
I've got 1 point. Luke's
because
got
it meant the only way that you, the only way of me getting you not to win this round.
I like that. That's your aim.
Because you could have won the round. Because if we'd have both got it wrong, then you would have
got 2 points.
You would have got 2 points, and then you would have won the competition. So I was like, I have to say the opposite thing to Luke so that she can't get 2 points.
It's a really smart move. Yeah.
I'd have got no points.
You made sure
with your
that she didn't get 2 points basically by making sure that.
Exactly.
That's really.
I sacrificed.
But you'd have got your points. You'd have got two.
I could have,
and
but
Luke
I could have taken
have
the risk.
Two.
And I could have taken the risk.
And so it would have been back down to an even Stevens match off.
I'd have won.
Because you'd have got. Oh, yeah, because you'd have got three.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd have got three total.
So if he.
So now we're still in a match with you and
we are
Luke.
Now. Even Stevens again.
Is it me and you, even Stevens?
No, you've got 2 points.
Oh.
Because you won the last round. You got 2 points in the last round. I got 1 point from the first round. So basically, it's 2-2-2. Two, two, two,
two.
Two. Oh, 2-2-2-2.
Yes,
sake.
It's 2-2-2. Two, two, two. So we're at level pegging again. So what we did
outrageous.
Last time is we did a very quick timed round.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you have like a very quick story that you could do in 3 minutes?
I thought
me too. Can you get the clock ready?
Yeah. Okay, wait, then. 3 minutes. Okay, it's 3 minutes for the people to ask. We say a sentence, and then the people have 3 minutes to ask questions.
Yeah, let's try and keep it to 3 minutes. Okay. If it goes over a little bit, that's all right. But let's try and stick to 3 minutes. So are you going to do a countdown?
Yep.
Okay, so I'll go first.
All right.
Okay.
I'll go first.
So when once you give us the statement, I will hit the.
Okay.
The
so are you ready, guys? Yeah.
Yeah.
Ready? Here's my thing. So I have a big scar. On my knee, on my left knee. I have a big scar on my left knee. Now, I think that you haven't seen me in shorts very often. I don't know if you remember, but I do.
I've never seen you in shorts.
I have a big scar on
my
left knee.
You ready, Amber?
Yeah, okay.
What are you looking up?
I'm just looking up something.
She's just checking something.
I'm just checking my story.
Okay,
carry on. No, carry on.
All right, 3 minutes ago. How did you get the scar?
I was playing football in someone's garden, and I was the goalkeeper, and I dived to catch the ball, and I landed on my knee, and there must have been something in the ground, like, for example, a piece of glass or a medieval sword, and it cut my knee.
How old were you?
I was about 15.
15?
How big is the scar?
Scar is pretty big. It's in total length, it's probably about that big, which is maybe 2 inches, maybe 10 centimeters long.
Okay.
It's curved, though.
Did you cry?
Yes, I did.
Who bandaged you up?
Hospital did. The entire hospital. No, just
you went to the hospital.
But you first went in to who? To the mum?
I was in the garden and my dad was there at the time. So a couple of parents were there and they kind of came to me and picked me up and took me to my dad's car and then he drove me to a hospital.
Oh, because they knew straight away it was stitches.
Oh, yeah.
Did they try and clean it up before? How many?
I don't think they did. I think that we just went straight to hospital because it was bad
stitches,
enough.
How many stitches, do you know?
I got loads. I got something in the region of about 30 stitches, maybe
male
more.
Male nurse, female nurse?
It was a male doctor. It was a male doctor who put the stitches in. I don't remember.
How long did it take to, how long did you have to have the stitches for before they got taken out?
Oh, the stitches were in for a long time. They were in there a couple of months. Yeah. And they and it and in Did fact you... the cut went got infected, so I had to take penicillin to remove the infection, and it went on for quite a long time. I had a big bandage around my leg, and I had crutches and stuff like that.
Did you feel cool?
I felt cool afterwards when I had the scar, but while I had the injury, no, I just felt irritated because I was hobbling around on crutches.
What did you ever find out what it was?
No, I never found out what it was that was in the ground. And I remember when I did it, as soon as I'd done it, I was searching in the ground to try and find whatever it was that had cut my knee so badly, and I couldn't find it. So the thing is about the knee cut, right, is that, you know, sometimes when you're playing football, you dive on the ground and you land on your knee and it hurts a bit. Mm-hmm. And you think, ow. Mm. This one really hurt, and I looked at my leg and my tracksuit trousers were ripped. And I was like, hello. So I pulled up my trouser leg. And then as soon as I saw it, apparently I went white. People around in the garden said that I just went white. All the color went out of my skin. Because what I saw on my knee is that whatever it was, had cut into my knee and come out again. And so there was a triangle like this that had been pushed under.
Oh, gross.
And I looked and I could see the cut flesh. And then there was my kneecap.
Did you bleed in your dad's car?
Yes, I bled a lot all over the place.
How did they get that out? Or didn't they?
I had lots of tissues around it, and I managed to stop the blood.
Okay, time, so. Gentlemen, time.
Amber?
True.
Why do you say it's true?
I'm just not sure you can lie.
What was your first story? I've forgotten the first one.
The one he's just done?
The first one.
All of my stories...
Dave Grohl.
No, I mean the first one from today.
The first one from today was a teacher.
Oh, yeah, that was
all
true.
All of my stories
yeah.
so far have been true.
Yeah, and that's why it'd be nice if this was a lie, but I've got a feeling it's true. True, I'm going to go with true. Maybe he's trying to fox us by making it, you know, lie, true, lie, true.
I think it's a lie.
Go for it, lie.
It's true, of course.
Of course it's true. He can't lie.
One of these days I'm going to lie and I'll trick you. But
no, you'll lie and it'll be so obvious we'll know why you've
I even want to play this game.
I don't know, you know. I can lie, you know. I can.
Sure,
can.
I know you can. Yeah. But I mean...
So Paul's like, I don't want to play this game anymore.
Okay then.
Because then I'm still going to end up... I was winning this for a while and now I'm...
Paul, it doesn't... It's just a game.
Okay, so I get 1 point.
And
Paul gets 0 points.
It's not just a game. Nothing is just a game.
Amber gets 1 point.
Paul.
Okay, come on, Paul.
Come on.
Your turn. Are you ready to start the clock?
Yes. So my statement is... it's funny you talk about scars. So I've got a scar on my right eye, like just above here somewhere.
Yep.
Or it might be my left eye.
I confirm.
Really?
It's very small.
Tiny one.
All right, yeah, I can see that.
That is from when I stabbed myself with a kitchen knife.
You stabbed yourself with a kitchen knife. Start the clock. Okay.
Okay, how old were you?
I think I was about 5.
Why did you stab yourself? Was there a reason?
5-year-olds need no reason.
I was a big fan of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right.
Series. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Favorite Ninja Turtle?
My favorite Ninja Turtle was Leonardo.
The leader.
The leader of the pack.
What color was his bandana?
He is blue.
I have no idea.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah.
And why did you like Leonardo?
Because he was cool. He was like, you know, he was the leader of the pack. I was.
He was a mutant in a half shell.
Turtle power.
A hero in a half shell.
Heroes in a half shell.
And what weapons did Leonardo have?
He had a big knife.
Two knives.
Maybe two.
Well, yeah, he had two sort of like samurai swords.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Two. Is that why you stabbed yourself in the face?
Yes.
Because you were pretending to be Leonardo.
Yes.
Can you tell us exactly how it happened?
Yeah, I was in my house, and I think my parents... It was quite a big house. It was in Evian, where they make the water.
Right.
So I was in France, and I went to the kitchen. My parents were, I don't know, in the house doing something, I don't know. And I managed
smoking.
Probably, most definitely smoking. And I managed to find the kitchen knives, like the massive, you know, the chopping knives, chef's knives.
Yeah.
And I got two of them because Leonardo has two of them.
Right.
And
You didn't know that 5 minutes ago.
Shut up. And so
Go on, Paul.
So I had two knives and I was going around the house pretending to be Leonardo, like...
Well, your mum was just...
I don't know where my parents were.
Where were they?
They were in the house.
They were away smoking.
It was a big house.
Okay. No, because, I mean, like, Hugo... Like,
it was a big house.
He would play with knives, but they're too high for him. At five, he couldn't...
Five? Shut up. Five, you can reach the counters.
Maybe not everyone's dwarves. Go on, carry on.
Yours is only two.
Yeah, but at five, I couldn't...
Yeah, but he could reach... It doesn't matter.
Anyway.
Go on. We haven't got time. So I had the two knives. I thought I was Leonardo. I was cool. And I was actually on the floor in the bedroom by this stage.
You'd taken them all the way into the bedroom?
Yeah. My parents weren't having sex.
Did you need stitches?
Clearly. Did I need stitches? I think I did, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so basically I was under the bed because they live in the sewers.
Right.
The turtles.
They do.
They live in the sewers.
Not your parents.
And so I was pretending to crawl under the bed like the sewers. And I was crawling like this with the knives
pointed up
in my hand. Right. Like being like, yeah, 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 I'm like splintering a thing. And at one stage, I went like that and stabbed my eye, like as I was crawling on my stomach.
Yeah.
And it went, and then blood everywhere.
So I've got one more question. Hadn't anyone said to you, you'll take someone's eye out with that? No one had actually mentioned that to
you?
Okay.
Paul's parents are negligent. We've learnt that with previous stories.
Yes.
I'm going to say, well, yeah, they let you burn down. I'm going to say it's true. They're the kind of parents that would let their five-year-old play with knives.
Okay.
You need to say false.
I'm going to say it's false because of that detail.
So I think this
is the hole in your story that just a moment before I asked you about Leonardo and his weapons.
And he only knew there was one knife.
You said he had one knife, but then you started telling the story and you had two knives because Leonardo had two knives, but you didn't know that. So I think that reason alone is enough. I think it's a great story. And the moment where you stabbed yourself in the eye because you were under the bed is quite believable. But yeah. I think because of that little detail, it's a lie.
There isn't something else which kind of makes it seem like a lie. Do you remember anything from when you were five? Like your motivation? Like why you would be under the bed? Mm. I almost can't remember five at all, let alone...
If something significant like I stabbed myself in the eye had happened, I think I would have remembered a story because you end up repeating that moment again and you tell people about the scar.
Yeah.
And so you sort of build up a story of the scar, even though, you know,
Five is very young.
Pick any other day when you were five, you won't remember it, but you'll remember the story rather than remembering the event.
Yeah, but that motivation of being like in the sewer.
I think just the story. It's not necessarily...
I'm going to go with true because I think it's tactically more interesting, but like there are holes in the story, but his parents are negligent. So okay. I want it to be true.
Final answers.
True.
Lie.
It's true.
Oh, man.
I love that it's true.
Oh, it's so true. That's exactly what I was doing. Like an idiot. I thought I was Leonardo. I didn't know he had two knives, but that just... I was quite happy when I just said he had a knife. Anyway, yeah, so I was crawling under the bed, and because that's what you do.
Yeah,
and I just went onto the eye, pissing with blood. My mum nearly had a heart attack. I don't even think my dad was at the house. I think he was working. I don't know what she was doing, if I'm honest.
Very telling.
It's hard.
It's your dad's fault.
Yeah.
Just blame your dad.
Basically. I could have been blind, but I wasn't.
Okay.
All right then. So, Amber, it's down to you. Now, the scores at this point are that I have three, Paul has three, Amber, you've got four.
Oh.
So it's looking good. So, again, we have to team up to beat
her. I feel there's some real resentment here towards me. Paul,
yeah,
basically,
there is.
His whole eyes on that is just like, I don't care if I lose. I just don't want Amber to win. Like, is it competitiveness or is it just like, he doesn't like me?
You know why? It's because I'm jealous that everyone thinks you've got a nice accent. That's it.
Everyone thinks you're hilariously funny, which is your chosen career,
it is.
Which is good.
And your chosen career, well, you do voiceovers for a living, so I guess It kind of makes
sense. Give it to me. Just give it to me.
He wants it all, Amber. He wants both.
I want people to like my voice.
He wants
I'm just jealous of people like, oh, Amber's voice is so beautiful. Amber, I want to have sex with your voice.
Well, I also do stand up and they no one thinks I'm funny, you know. And that's, you know.
Oh, my goodness. All right, then, you two.
Okay, I've got
so, Amber, we're
like,
it's
we're
your
like,
turn.
We're like brother and sister. Sorry, Dad.
Yeah, I'm like bringing you in line like the kids. All right, kids. Quiet,
you don't need to tell a story. I'm going to say it's true, you're going to say it's false, and then we're going to...
I know. It's true. We mustn't play tactically, because otherwise it's pointless. Why tell the stories? Okay.
I could have won it a while ago. I could have just... Because I knew yours was true. I was like, it's too good to
it
not
was
be...
Too, and you, too and you were so detail. Right. How could I have thought
you
of it?
You could have not come up with that.
I never have thought of it.
All right.
Okay.
I gave it to you on a plate. Okay, then. My story. I applied to be a lap dancer in Pigalle.
Start that clock. You applied to be a lap dancer in Pigalle. Uh-huh. Okay, I think everyone listening to this knows what a lap dancer is.
We haven't got time to describe what it is.
Well, Pigalle is a place in Paris.
It doesn't matter.
Paris.
That
is
We've lost 10 seconds, Luke.
We're not the only ones involved in this.
They're not asking questions, all right? Why?
Pigalle is a place. Go
on. Pigalle, the red light district in Paris.
Thank you.
Why? Research.
For what?
Well, I was always interested in the dark side of Paris.
Could you not have just read a book about it?
Yeah, of course I could, but I just thought it'd be interesting. I wanted to know what went on behind the closed doors. And this like world had fascinated me, and I thought I might turn it into some theatre art.
Interesting that the last lie that you told on this podcast was when you applied to be another kind of performer.
Yeah.
Is this just another fantasy?
Well, I mean, I did go to drama school, and as you see, I'm not making a living from acting, so I do obviously have a fantasy about
that. Tell me about the application process.
Popped in to the one, you know, there's the one on the big roundabout just next to your house, Luke, round up the road.
Yeah.
Asked
you walked
them if
in.
They walked
what
in.
What time of day?
It was afternoon. It was sunshiny.
Okay.
It wasn't at night.
What, like during the week, during the weekend?
Can't remember. Week.
Were there people in there? Like, is it open or is it like a kind of closed? Are lap dancing bars open that early?
They are open in the daytime.
Okay.
Stuff like that is open in the daytime. I went in. I didn't see any moves. No one seemed to be doing any moves.
So what did you say?
I asked them if they needed any people.
Yeah. And they said?
They said, yes.
Yeah.
And asked me some details.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Did I dance and stuff like that? And then told me about the rules.
Do you have a lap?
Do you have a lap? Can you sit on laps?
Did they ask to see your boobs?
No, they didn't ask to see my boobs or ask me to dance or anything like that. And I thought they would.
What was the immediate response? Was it like, thank you, but you're not what we're looking for? Or was it, okay, we can see already with your clothes on that you're perfect for the role?
That's what they seemed to be saying.
Really?
That you were good for the role?
They were like, yeah.
They were like,
so then what happened? Did you? What was the first, what was the next step?
They gave me, I spoke to, it was a woman. I spoke to a woman. She didn't ask me to do any of these things. I was kind of surprised but relieved because I kind of didn't really want to do them. She told me about the process. The most important thing, it would seem, is that you get people to spend money.
Right.
And that's all they care about.
Okay. So after you walked in and they were like, yeah, cool, here's the next step.
She gave me her telephone number and told me to be in touch.
And did you get in touch?
No.
Okay. And did you you didn't get in touch. So after being offered the job, which you'd applied for, for research purposes, in the end you went, oh, actually, no, I don't want to be a lap dancer.
Yes.
Okay. What was the thing you were researching?
For theatre.
In what way?
Sorry, your time is up.
I need to know this. What, you were researching a role as a lap dancer, were you?
Yeah.
And so in this performance, in the theatre performance, you had to do some lap dancing?
Potentially.
Did you do the theatre performance?
It didn't turn
it didn't,
out
it didn't
that
happen.
Way.
So
no.
None of this happened.
Okay, no, I've decided.
I know what I know.
Here's the thing. What are the scores?
The scores are Amber's got 4 and we've got 3.
So basically, we need to answer the same thing, and we both need to be right in order for her not to win.
If you get it right and I get it wrong, it's a draw between you
two. We can make it a 3-way draw again, right?
We can make it a 2-way draw
between her and one of us.
Or it's going to be a 2-way draw between Amber and one of us, or between us. That's what's going to happen.
Well, no,
That's what's going to happen. It's definitely what's going to happen.
No, or it's a 3-way draw.
No.
Because if she's on 4, 3, 3, yes. And we get... If she's
right.
on four...
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
So it's either a three-way draw again, and then we have to do another episode.
Okay.
It's never
I haven't prepared another story. I haven't got another story to tell.
Yeah.
Or it's a two-way draw. I'm going to... You know what? I might actually just lose this on purpose because I don't have any story that's true or false to tell off straight away. And if I do, then you'll know straight away that it's true.
Okay.
Or we can just save it for another episode. Okay. You think it's bollocks?
I think it's not true. I think that the whole thing sounds fabricated because all of the things around it, that there's no supporting evidence around it at all. Like none of the events are true. It's all clearly a lie.
I think it's a lie because it going by the way that she tells her true story, and the way that she tells her fake stories, it sounded like it was... I'm going to go fake as well.
And also, that point that the last time you lied, it was basically the same story. I applied to do some wacky performance. So?
It's true.
Oh, come on!
It's 100% true!
About get out of here, I'm done with this podcast. She's totally taking it away. What is it, 5-3-3?
She got Jesus. 2 points and we got nothing. Oh my goodness,
completely true.
All right, you got to explain a little bit about that.
Okay,
now.
So I was at Jacques Lecoq and we had to do a
that's
an acting school, and we had to do a piece of for the end of our first year. We do a piece of theatre. We ended up doing it about rats and like insects, but we experimented in different ideas, and one of them was sort of like the underbelly of Paris. So me and my friend Cassandra, we went to that lap dancing club.
Yeah.
Went in, there was this very stern woman who basically just, she didn't ask anything. Can you dance? Can you take off your clothes? She made it clear you don't have to have sex with anyone, but all she wanted was like, you chat to people, and the minute they say, can I get you a drink, you order a bottle of champagne. And all they want is the minute that a guy comes in, sits down, is you get their money, and then they don't care whether you take your clothes off, whether you're thin or fat or whatever, because that's all she wanted us to do. Like, can you do that? We said yes. And then obviously I was like, this is just, it was horrible and seedy and really nasty and just kind of felt scary. And I just thought, my friend had actually worked in this industry, and so was not as afraid as me, but I was like, I don't want to do this. It's too horrible.
And in the end, the play actually never happened.
We didn't do that. We did something different.
Did another idea. You did the insect idea.
We did the insects. Yeah, we went with insects and pigeons.
All right. Wow.
But I learned as well, because, you know, my true stories, too much detail. And the fake story, also too much detail, because I'd researched it too much. And this one, I was like, I cannot remember much about it. It will be perfect.
She's too good, Paul.
I learned from my mistakes.
I'm never coming on this podcast again. Listeners of Luke's English podcast, it's been an absolute pleasure for
Nonsense.
You to have me on the podcast. And this is my final goodbye. So it's been an absolute pleasure. And
what a bad loser he is.
I can't take it.
I'm not coming on here to be humiliated every time I come on here.
Look, I lost last time. I totally lost last time.
You can find me at my own podcast.
Paul does have a podcast. I don't know if that's been mentioned on this.
Is it sponsored
before.
By Audible?
No, it's not. No. There are no sponsors at this.
I don't.
If only it was like your podcast.
Right. Yeah,
well done.
You dropped in a little moment. Thank you, Amber, for mentioning the fact that this podcast is sponsored by audible.com. They can now go to teacherluke.co.uk/audible, and that'll take them to the right place. I don't know if that's an easier URL to deal with.
But yours is as yet not sponsored by Audible. Tell us about your podcast.
Tell us about your podcast, Paul.
Oh, it's just my podcast. It's called Becoming a Comedian. I do it in French and in English, and it's just about me and my life post-Apple, post-real world job, and trying to make some money. And I just talk about the different stages, experiences that I've... Just different stories that have happened to me throughout the week. So I do it every time something interesting has happened. So I haven't done it in the last couple of weeks because nothing's interesting. I'm going to do one soon. And you guys, I'd love to have you guys on at some stage to chat about just comedy in general and becoming stand-up comedians, since we're all, at the level where we're just getting started and seeing what it's like in Paris. So, yeah, you can, if you're interested, and I won't be...
How do people find it?
You can go to paultaylorcomedy.com. paultaylorcomedy.com, that's Taylor with a Y, comedy with a Y. And there's a little podcast option on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can click, or you can find it on iTunes as well.
And you do like one episode in English and then you record that same episode in French and you basically say the same things.
Yeah.
But if you're only interested in the English ones, then they're all there.
Yeah.
But if you want to do both English and French, you can listen to the English one and the French one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's cool. I listen to it in French sometimes, just for practice for listening in French.
Yeah, I tend to record the French one. I used to record the English one, then the French one.
Mm.
But now I'm doing it the other way around, just because once I've recorded the English one, I really don't feel like telling the same story again in French. Whereas if I say it in French first, I'm fine saying it in English.
It's odd.
Just because it's my second language, it's easier to get that out the way first. It's right. more tiring. Same reason why Sebastian Marx does his 1 hour French show first.
Yeah.
And then back to back, then he does his English show
Is
afterwards.
That why?
Yeah.
Because it's easier going in English.
Yeah, it's easier doing the more difficult language first.
Yeah.
Because that takes up more energy.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, it's yeah.
You
yeah,
can relax.
Like hard work's done.
You can just relax and stretch out a little bit more in your first language than in your second language.
Yeah. Although I think I might start doing it differently, because I got a guy came up to me the other day at a comedy show and he was like, "Oh, I listened to your podcast. You're Paul Taylor, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." He's like, "Oh, I really enjoyed how you tell us like the different stages that you've been on in Paris." So I think for the French one, I might consider it more like a, not like tips for new comedians, but it's kind of like that for like new people who are starting in French, like here are the open mics, here's what you should do, more of a tips thing, whereas the English one really is for like my friends and family who want to know what my life is like after.
It might make it more interesting as well for you, like if they've kind of got a slightly different approach, because they'll have a different audience as well.
Yeah,
that makes sense. That's good.
Okay. Great. So if people want to listen to the podcast, they can do that. PaulTaylorComedy.com. Or they can find Paul Taylor Becoming a Comedian on iTunes or other podcasting services like that. Pleasure to have you guys in the flat again doing this podcast. Congratulations, Amber. You won fair and square, I think.
Again.
I didn't win last time.
No, but you, I don't know, for some reason...
I'm good at quizzes. I lead a very, very sheltered, boring life.
You know, the day that I win one of these, I'm bringing champagne and we're gonna get shit-faced.
Let's
Justice
do it.
For Paul.
Let's do that. I'd love to do that. Do you guys have any plans for Christmas? What are you doing for Christmas?
I'm going to Costa Rica.
Oh,
Costa Rica.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
How come?
Because I have a really, really good friend who lives in Costa Rica and who listens to podcasts.
I think this is a lie. Can I just say, I'm going to get the point.
I used to be flatmates and nice. He is how I met Nico, and I was going to go to his wedding, but I was like 8 months pregnant and I couldn't fly to Costa Rica. So we missed the wedding, and he's got a little baby too. So we're going to go for Christmas before Hugo turns two, and we have to buy him a plane ticket because it'll be too expensive.
Oh, is it free?
Yeah, because he sits on my lap. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Hey.
And afterwards, it's going to be too expensive. And then we get to stay with them, and it should be really fun, and it'll be
That's
summer.
That's cool.
Wow, I look forward to hearing about that.
That's cool. What are you up to?
Going back to my parents' place.
Nice.
And, you know, family Christmas.
Christelle going with you, or is she hanging out with her
She's
family?
Coming. She's coming with us. So we're just going to hang out with the family, have the turkey, you know, the Christmas meal. We're going to be...
This is a podcast because I've spent Christmas with so many different people's families, and every family has its rituals and routines, and they all think that that's just the way. But I know, because I've been to so many different people's, that they're all crazy. Really interesting, like what people do for Christmas.
Like every single one is kind of...
Because it's all like about ritual and tradition, but everyone's family's rituals and traditions are different.
Right. Yeah,
and it's fascinating.
Mm. Ah, that is interesting. What about you, Paul?
I'm staying in Paris. For the first Christmas ever, me and Addy are just going to hang out together.
Yeah,
because it's always either I've gone home to England to see my my parents.
Yeah,
or like my mum's come here, so my mum's been around the flat. So for once, it's just going to be me and we'll go see her grandmother for Christmas Day.
Yeah,
and then we'll just chill out. She's taking a week off work, so we'll just hang out and watch Love Actually, and other Christmassy films.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds nice. Yeah.
And get
drunk. Sounds really good. I don't know if we will get a chance to do another one of these before Christmas.
Well, there's no rematch now, so that's it. And I'm not coming back, so...
Amber conclusively won that.
Yeah, but only because you didn't want to believe that pretty shady story. You thought better of me.
Yeah, I thought there's no way Amber would go... become a lap dancer. In the end, it was right. You didn't.
Of course,
but you did go for the interview, which
I did. But you thought better of me, and that just shows your integrity. And actually, Paul, had you not played strategically,
I would have won.
You would have won. So you're still a winner.
No, I'm not.
I'm more of a loser.
I like the way every time we play one of these games, at the end, someone manages to like twist it round so that someone else actually won. No. So actually, Paul,
What happened is Amber destroyed us, and I lost. Well, because we're both on. No, I lost. I clearly lost. I was the least amount of points. Yeah, you so got
the,
four.
The end result
5-4-3.
The end result was Paul, you got 3, I got 4, and Amber got 2.
Okay,
the next
quiz game match, you choose it.
I've got an idea for your neck for the next line game.
Go on.
Okay.
I was going to tell it to you earlier on, but I thought I'll wait to the end. At next point, what we have to do is we say just the sentence, like here's a sentence, and we have to ask your listeners to ask their questions that they would ask, and then the episode that we record is only their questions. We're only allowed to ask their questions.
That's a great idea.
We do the same thing, but it's their questions and not ours.
So how would we actually do that?
It would have to be towards the end of we would have had to prepare a statement. At the end of a podcast. Well, maybe we can think about them. We can pause it for a while and you can put it on at the end.
Yes.
And then your listeners have to write questions for the three of us. Like, to Paul, these are the questions I would ask. To Amber, these are the questions. And then
We only use those questions that have been sent in by listeners. And then we could leave it open for the listeners to decide whether they think it's true or false.
Exactly, yeah.
Just totally open, the open line game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea. Could you think of a sentence right now, do you think? If I pause this?
In a couple of minutes, I could come up with one.
Okay, I'm going to pause it, then we can say our sentences, and then we'll call it a day on this episode.
Cool.
All right, then, I'm going to pause it right now. Okay, everybody, we've had a little think, and we've come up with a few new statements, and I'm just going to share them with you now. Paul is making another cup of tea, which is a fantastic idea. So basically, here are the rules for this new version of the Lion Game that we'll do next time. So Paul, Amber and me have all thought of new statements. We're going to say them to you now, and just those statements. Okay, and then what you do is you think of questions that you would like us to ask each other about those stories. So listen to these statements, think of some questions that you would ask, okay? And write your questions in the comments section of this episode of Luke's English Podcast, okay? And then when we get together again to play the next game, we will ask each other the questions that you have sent in via the comments section, okay? And then you'll listen to that episode. You'll listen to all the questions and the answers, and then it will be up to you, again, to decide if you think those things are true or not true, and then you'll have to wait till the following episode to discover if you were right or if you were wrong. The person who convinces the most people by percentage to get the wrong answer, that person will win. We'll come to that in the future when we get to it. But right now, just listen to these statements, and I'd like you to decide if... I'd like you to just think of questions, okay? So think in your mind lots of questions. This is where you become Inspector Columbo, and you just get to ask lots of questions. Okay, so I'm going to go first, and so here is my statement. And my statement is that I accidentally knocked down a wall in a friend's house in Japan. Okay, so I don't know if it's necessary to just add a detail, but I knocked down a wall, so that means that I was responsible for damage to someone's apartment at a friend's house in Japan, and I actually damaged one of the walls to the point where the wall actually it fell. Okay, from its original position. I don't think it's necessary to give that detail. So I accidentally knocked down a wall in a friend's house in Japan. Okay, that's my statement. Now, Paul, it's your turn to give your statement.
Okay.
He's got his cup of tea ready. Here it is.
So my statement is that I used to get bullied by Guy Berryman, who is the bassist of the band Coldplay. He is the bass player of the band Coldplay. His name is Guy Berryman, and he used to bully me at school. That is my statement.
Okay, it's pretty clear. Guy Berryman. How do you spell Berryman?
B-E-R-R-Y. So B-E-R-R-Y.
Yeah.
M-A-N.
Okay, great. He used to get bullied by Guy Berryman, who now is the bass player from Coldplay. Yeah. Okay, then. And Amber?
I helped in the making of the film Something's Gotta Give with Keanu Reeves, Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson.
you helped in the making of the film Something's Got to Give, starring Keanu Reeves, Jack Nicholson and...
Diane Keaton.
Okay, you helped.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I accidentally knocked down a wall in a friend's house in Japan. Paul used to get bullied by Guy Berryman, the bass player from Coldplay, and Amber helped in the making of the film Something's Got to Give,
yeah,
with Jack Nicholson, Diane Keaton, and who was the other one?
Keanu Reeves.
Okay, that's it. So, ladies and gents, think about your questions. You've heard us playing this game before. You know the kind of questions you should be asking. Think of your questions and write them on the page for this episode. All right? I can't wait to see what questions they come up with. Let's see how on the ball my listeners are. Let's see how good their detective skills are. We're looking for really incisive questions or any questions that you think would be necessary in order to establish whether this was true or not. Your questions will probably be put to us in the next episode of The Lying Game. Okay, guys?
Yeah.
Looking forward to this?
Definitely.
Very much so.
Okay. All right. Thanks again for being on the podcast. Speak to you all again soon. But for now, it's just time to say goodbye. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, 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 bye.
Thanks again for listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.